So good afternoon, everyone. So I'm Sarah Ulrich, and I went to the dark side of the force. But I have a little story for you before that to show you that I'm not all bad and capitalistic. I actually came from something called Simmerstrat. It was a proof of concept company from King's College London, founded by Michael Clark and Lawrence Friedman. And we actually went to the Joint Chief of Staff College, met some people, took some wargaming techniques, and actually transformed it into a kind of business proof of concept company and methodology, which was then subsequently acquired by Deloitte. So interestingly, I have both sides. I used to be also a lecturer in crisis management and negotiation, and all my life I have applied simulation methodologies to actually train my students. And now I apply wargaming methodologies to actually potentially also look into the future for the businesses I work for, private and public sector businesses. And to Arnaud's point, actually when I try to explain to people what we do and the benefits of what we do, which can be sometimes a challenge, but I like a challenge, we often say, no, it is not paintball, and we do not kidnap people, because obviously they see us working in the mud and going through the trenches. But obviously, Arnaud touched upon that, and Jeremy as well, is that it's something that you have seen in the media since, I would say, late 80s, but especially early 2000, has attracted a lot of attention. Several books were published, so this was a good thing to create awareness as well. Several articles by analysts in the media as well, so this is not something new. I would say, though, and it'll be interesting to in the question, it's something because you might have heard with my accent, I'm not from around here, so I'm half German, half French, and I've worked a lot in the United States as well, and now in the UK. So there is a cultural framework of why war games potentially, business war games especially, are maybe less adopted around here and more adopted across the pond. So that would be an interesting thing to hear from you guys if you have a different point of view. I'm not here, obviously, to make you a commercial pitch, but just to give you a bit of flavor of why what we are in Deloitte. I told you about where we come from Simmerstrat and King's College. But we are now the largest team in Europe who does simulation and war games, and I will give you a bit more details on what the differences we see in the business world. We have more than 25 people who are doing that now, and we have this unique approach based on what I was just telling you around Simmerstrat. Interestingly, we work cross-sector. We don't work necessarily only for the private sector, and I will give you actually two examples which are from the public sector. And interestingly as well, more and more, and that's something I'm very interested to hear from you, is we are working, and that's why I was so glad when Phil Sabin invited me over, is that actually we obviously work with our in the private sector for business war games. The military sector works within themselves. We try to bridge the gap nowadays between those two sectors. And I will show you one example where actually constructively, adding to the humanitarian sector, the academic sector as well, we are starting to work together. And that's something I want to explore with you potentially further down the line. It's very nice to continue and collaborate, to exchange, but I want to see and push your thinking further. Actually, we have something to learn from each other. The business sector learned first from the military sector, the wargaming techniques. We applied it, we transformed it a bit, and I will try to highlight what those transformations are to adapt it to our audience. And potentially now, there is some, actually, incentive to continue to work together again and to see how we can do that. We could discuss further as well. So, it's examples of recent war games we have run. I mean, it ranges from healthcare policy, new product launch, Eurozone crisis, and to your question, I think, Russell, around how can we prepare or how the US should have potentially prepared for the financial failure. We could discuss that also further down the line. Cyber attacks, counterparty failure, you name it. Two things we do. As Arnaud said, there is one bucket of crisis management simulation and war games that we do. So it's really to test risk management angle, to test their plans, their crisis management plans, their business continuity plans. So it would be more linear. And actually, we practice their roles and responsibilities. at a strategic, tactical, or operational level, and we give them recommendations on how they can enhance those particular plans and where the gaps are. There is another bucket, and that was where Simulstrat came along, which is more strategic risks simulation and war games, is you don't have necessarily a plan, but you test what our clients, what keeps them awake at night. So it's a big issue. They have a new product launch, and they need to actually prepare for that. It's not necessarily only project planning. It can be the thinking. And that's where potentially I see a lot of opportunities for both of our sides to work more together on this kind of strategic angle. So the next one, and I'm not going to, obviously, you know what a war game is. I'm just going to highlight certain maybe differences in business war games and how we have interpreted them and how we have used certain techniques to apply to business. So what we do is more discussion-based. We would bring the kind of red team, blue teams into the play. We would have red teams staffed by experts. So for example, there is obviously something around they have a particular drug that is about to go out of patent, and they want to see what the competition is doing. So the red teams would actually role play the competition, and we staff it with experts from the client, but from our company as well. And they would provide during the day, so you have the storyline, you have a scenario that evolves, classic wargaming, but you do not have necessarily an umpire that will stop things. It's much more free play, free flowing. The empire, I would say, is more at the background, what we call the control team. So more the control team would sometimes take decisions in the shadows or push certain buttons to force people to go through certain decision-making. But because it's so free-flowing, we have those red teams who are able to, on the day of the war game, react almost instantly to the decisions our clients are taking. So you see, they take a decision, you see the consequences of your decision and the reaction. And obviously you have time jumps and whatever the timeline is. So that's the beauty of our interpretation of wargaming. It compresses and you see the whole different steps of the decision-making process. And that's where, on the strategic risk wargames, they learn a lot because they see the unintended consequences, the second and third tier outcomes as well, the unknown unknowns, as you know it well. So again, much more free-flowing. Just to point out a few things from the war games that we usually use, I mentioned the red teams, so it can be competitors, it can be the media. Interestingly, reputational risk is one of the biggest risks that our clients are facing, and it can be very, very varied. Depending, it can be across all sectors, from the pharma sector to the financial sector. It's something that is sometimes not measurable, and they don't exactly cannot pinpoint exactly where it is. And often, obviously, we play it with the board level. We play it also with the senior management level, and sometimes also with the technical teams underneath, operational teams. And it's how they manage these reputational risks at the top level and how it is communicated along that we test. We would maybe, for example, hire an ex-BBC journalist who would come with the camera crew and do as if he would interview people to force the CEO to react on the spot. And this is actually something so valuable for our clients to be able to experience this in a safe environment. And that's what it is all about. The war games is something that appeals a lot to business and more because it's safe. You can take whatever decision you want. You are able to discuss certain things. You are not necessarily in a hierarchical position. You can interchange with people more. And that's what helps not only to have a better understanding of content of whatever the issue is, but even more so, and what our clients don't realize often, is actually more on the behavioral side. Consensus building, team building, and often they don't realize that until they have been part of one of those. And again, in the structure, we often run war games with parallel teams, so classic stuff. We rerun war games as well. That's something we do quite a lot. On the content, it's often iterative, interactive, and I was mentioning free-flowing. So we have left stop, go. It will be maybe half a day where they play whatever they need to play, and then we would have many a mini debrief to actually highlight certain things. But usually in a one day, and usually we have a one day war game, it's very rare that we go above. I have done 2 days with certain businesses, but it was staggered. You had different teams playing at different hours and different time zones, and usually can be also half a day. But we do not do, for the reasons you might think of, a 5 day war game. It's very rare. But we usually also use, obviously, certain debrief techniques from the military and the debrief as such, and we would do it at the end of the day. Hot and potentially cold debrief 1 week later or 2 weeks later. We often also focus on consequence management. Our clients often think, yeah, let's do a crisis, let's do a bomb attack, let's do a cyber attack, and we look only at the crisis issue. But we want them to think, okay, now that's very nice, you have actually dealt with this particular crisis, but now it is important that you look 1 week later, 2 days later, 1 month later, 3 months later, on what are the impacts and what would you do to not only recover from a risk management perspective, but even from a strategic standpoint. You have to look into the future as well. So not only the hot crisis, how you manage that, but also the longer term, because for business, that's also the most important part of it often, especially to recover from a reputational perspective. And let me give you some examples. And obviously, I'm not able to tell you, what you might have guessed already, to tell you what who the client is, but I can speak in broader terms. And what is important here is about to show you certain methodologies we have used of war games and how it has been applied and how beneficial it was to our clients. So this was a pricing strategy war game that was really designed to gain insights for our public sector clients into the new private health insurers pricing decisions. So there you have guessed, there was the Obamacare law coming up, and they wanted to know how will that change the market. And in the United States, it's so complex that even the different states have different health insurance markets. So what we did is we took 2 sample markets, 1 dominant, 1 competitive. We modeled around that a pricing model, so the quantitative element of certain of our war games. And the other part of our team models the qualitative elements. So what is the scenario around it? What are the possible futures? What are the competitors going to do? And we produce all the materials around that. So you have the qualitative stream and the quantitative stream that interlinked. And it's often, obviously, for businesses, very, very important to have the quantitative element included in it somehow. And we played this, different teams, so here from 2014 until 2016, and then later on we did so many, we did also 2017. And they liked it so much that actually in the end we did 11 of those across 6 different locations in the United States. The interesting aspect is, and it took some time to convince them at the beginning of, especially they didn't like the word game into the wording. And public sector clients sometimes, depending who it is, don't like the word war game. So that's why they use often the word simulation. But effectively, it was a war game because it actually looked at the competition and it looked at what is a potential future whole market environment. And each of those different entities, how would they react to each of the different health plan insurers? So it got very, very, very complex. But they gained a wide range. They actually gained what they wouldn't have gained without a war game, is actually seeing this complexity, not necessarily on the day, because obviously they are in different rooms. We want to see also how they would react within your team, how they would react potentially between 2 teams, and how they react with the whole wider environment with the red teams. But they gained a huge value to see actually on one day the whole spectrum of a possible future. And that's what our clients particularly like about that. Another example, which goes back to what I said at the beginning, is how to bring different sectors together. And we have done a multi-sector humanitarian crisis war game last year for King's College London, actually, for the Humanitarian Futures Program. They actually drafted us in because they wanted, obviously, to build a role game to explore one particular research topic, which was how actually are we going in the future to deal with the capacities challenge to tackle humanitarian crisis. So the military obviously does a lot in the humanitarian field. You have the humanitarian, obviously, who does a lot. They are used, both of them, to work together quite a lot as well. The private sector, that was more of a challenge. So they brought in the business sector as well to see if in 2035 there would be some differences between certain teams who would be only humanitarian sector, certain teams from the military sector, and actually we had a team from the cross sector, which actually they didn't know about. So the research point was to see if working together solved the problem of this particular humanitarian crisis capacities challenge. And oh, aha moment in the room, it does. So interestingly, we use certain wargaming techniques and methodology to enable people to further this research project to actually see how different sectors could come together. We had a very interesting debrief where we looked at the plus and minus of each sector and how actually they could enhance their collaboration. And believe it or not, certain questions were around why actually is the business sector in the room, for example. So there were certain discussions where that opened minds and opened hearts as well and creates this kind of bonds where you can further this discussion and you have reached a consensus saying, yes, actually there is a problem, why we don't tackle it together. Further down the line, it really helped certain discussion between those different sectors and started a better collaboration. So thank you for listening to me rambling about business war games. I'm very, very interested in your questions, and please make them challenging. But as well, I'm very interested to see if you see value in this cross-sector approach, because I'm here also for that. I might be from the business sector, but I think if we can collaborate more, where there are synergies, I would welcome that. Thank you.